week ago, I had the opportunity to speak about what I considered to be the most catastrophic mistake ever made in the history of Europe, with a man who lives in Europe, who has immigrated long ago from Iraq, of all places. And we talked about a disaster that was forming, primarily as a result of Merkel, the Prime Minister of Germany, offering an asylum to 800,000 Muslims a year, to millions of Muslims over the next decade, and how that was going to be seen as a incentive for Muslims. And we talked at the time that there were tens of thousands of Muslims that were headed to Europe, and what I shared with IQ al-Rasuli was that that number really wasn't tens of thousands. It wasn't hundreds of thousands. It was millions, and will soon be tens of millions. A lot has changed only in the sense of an acceleration of what we witnessed last week. But oh my, Europe is being flooded with the Black Death. Good morning, IQ.
Good morning to you, sir.
What is your assessment of what has transpired over the last week?
Well, it's a long assessment. I would like to bring to the attention of our listeners items that all the major news media in the USA and Europe will not, I repeat, will not tell their audience, because the facts would turn the tide and their perception against the so-called immigrants.
Yeah.
By the way, those who may not believe what I'm about to tell you, just Google the points I'm raising and find out.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the majority of these so-called immigrants are not from Syria.
No, they're not.
Syrians are mostly Semitic people who are fair-skinned. A great number of immigrants are from Muslim and African countries.
Correct.
Such as Sudan, Libya, Somalia, Eritrea, Pakistan, Afghanistan, etc.
Guess what? I'm reading an article right now. 1.4 million from Nigeria. 1.5 million from Nigeria. And that doesn't include everyone surrounding Nigeria or even Libya. So you're right. Syria is not even in the top three sources of these Muslims. Not that it matters all that to all that great a degree, but the fact is that Islam has raised its ugly head. Islam has created such a horrendous culture that Muslims by the millions are fleeing it.
One can watch how many of them are raising the Muslim flags, pointing with the index finger like ISIS, denoting the one Allah, shouting Allahu Akbar. As
right.
always, Muslims exhibit the most obscene degrees of ingratitude and lawlessness imaginable. Vis-a-vis their host peoples. These are invaders.
Yes.
Paid for by the Turkish government, ISIS, and other Islamic organizations for the single purpose to overwhelm and invade Europe and its own culture.
Yeah.
Most of them.
A huge percentage are actually coming through Turkey. But, you know, the largest source of these individuals is Afghanistan.
Well,
Afghanistan.
Most of them are single males with very few females.
Yeah, but the females are always wearing their burqas.
Sorry?
But
very few. Very few. Compared to the number of men, very few.
And most of them are young men.
All of them, almost the entirety. I mean, okay, you've got a few of the old ones.
Right.
But the majority are young.
Yes, they are.
Where did they get $4,000 or more each to pay their smugglers to come to Europe? How did they do that?
Right.
It is a fact that since February of this year, ISIS has been declaring publicly that it will flood Europe with illegal immigrants and terrorists. But our media and politicians in the West ignore them and continue to do so even now. Although the overwhelming evidence that what is happening now is an invasion.
It is, absolutely.
In the whole of Europe, there is only one sane leader, the Prime Minister Orbán of Hungary, who rightly lambasted Angela Merkel of Germany for undermining the stability of Europe with their utterly insane declaration that Germany will absorb 800,000 illegal immigrants this year and 500,000 every year thereafter. Thus, tempting millions, millions of economic migrants to flood Europe.
Right.
Orbán is the only leader who is protecting his people and country from the invading hordes of Muslims disguised as immigrants.
Yeah.
He is standing steadfast, by the way, against all those who are accusing him of inhumanity.
Yeah.
Because he got his priorities right. The Muslim hordes were not invited by him or his people.
No.
And his humanity must start and should start with his people being protected. Americans, too, should wake up to the fact that no nation can keep its culture, traditions, and security intact if it cannot or will not protect its borders. The borders of any country are exactly like the human skin. If and when the skin is damaged or torn, it would be infected, leading to death if the wound is not attended to immediately. Every thinking European and American should ask themselves one simple question. Why are these Sharia-compliant Muslims who hate Western democracy, loathe Christianity, call Europeans and Americans infidels kuffar, would rather come to Europe or the USA than stay in Turkey, go to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, the Gulf States, etc.? By the way, I don't know if you know, the Saudis and Kuwaitis have already publicly asserted that they will not take a single one of these immigrants because they say they are terrorists. How is it possible that the Arabs know more about the embedded terrorists among this flood of humanity than the European leaders and their intelligence services? It's unbelievable.
Because we're comatose.
Right.
Because we're absolutely comatose. Because political correctness precludes anyone from actually discussing the connection between Islam and terrorism.
Well, you know,
Muslims commit 99% of the world's terrorist acts, and yet, and the reason that the vast preponderance of these people are fleeing is because of the terrorist acts being perpetrated between Muslims in their countries. And even though that is undeniable and irrefutable and obvious, the world will not discuss that which is politically incorrect, even though it is absolutely, undeniably correct. There isn't, there has always been, and there always will be, an indisputable link between Islam and terrorism.
Ladies and gentlemen, these mostly Muslims, they're coming to our free societies to suck our lifeblood.
Yes, they are.
To be
they're
the
parasites.
Parasites that will destroy and undermine us economically, socially, culturally, educationally, theologically, politically, and then expose us to many acts of terror that our will to fight back will be eliminated short of total civil war.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what is going to happen.
Yeah, not
Turkey
only.
Especially is allowing hundreds of thousands of Muslims to invade Europe because the Europeans have so far refused to accept Turkey in the European Union, and rightly so.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a statement of fact that based upon previous waves of Muslims from Somalia being brought into the United States, that the overwhelming majority of those that are invading Europe and that will continue to invade the United States will not work. They are unlike the Hispanics, the Mexicans that come into the United States, who come in primarily to work. They're not going to work. They're going to be a tremendous burden, a parasite, actually, on an infrastructure that is already bankrupt. And that's the best that you can say. Because when you survey the cultures, like in Minnesota of Little Mogadishu, or in the Detroit area with a high concentration of Muslims, you're going to find crime and anarchy. You're going to find a wholesale disdain for America. You're going to find young Muslim men and young Muslim women longing to be good Muslim jihadists.
jihadists, by the way, as I'm speaking to you. European unity is at the moment is in tatters and being torn asunder. Because each country, including Germany now, has woken up to the nightmare of self-destruction by allowing the unrestricted and cataclysmic flood of undocumented, illegal Muslims into a totally unprepared Europe.
Right.
Already, by the way, there are reports of rape, plunder, defiance of law and order by these Muslims.
Right.
Against the very people who have been willing to give them shelter.
In fact, in the Greek islands, it's now a situation where a quarter of the population on some of the islands are Muslims from either Syria or Afghanistan or some other Islamic country, and they're warring with each other and treating the homes and property of the Greeks as if it were their own. The Greeks are now living in a hell. They can't go to work. They can't send their children to school. They can't go outside. Their homes are not safe. And the Muslims are rioting among themselves.
Well, why aren't the Europeans literally standing up and defending their own countries? I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, and, you know, and no one seems to be able to put the pieces together. There are, ultimately, there are 8 million Syrians that have been displaced. There's about 8 million Iraqis that have been displaced. There are millions of Yemenites. There are some 20 million Turks right now between the Erdogan's new declared war on the Kurds. There's the entire population of Afghanistan. There's the entire population of Libya. That people have no home. There's about a third of the population of Nigeria and about half the population of the countries on both sides of it. There's 10% of the population of Egypt. They have no homes. They have no rights. Their only hope is to leave the influence of Islam. We're not talking about IQ, hundreds of thousands. We're talking about tens of millions.
Yes.
Infected
it
with the most
invasion.
Yes.
They are reconquering Europe without war.
Right. Because they're infected with the disease that is Islam. The Prime Minister of Croatia, who 2 days ago, IQ, said, oh, yeah, we'll take the Muslims in. No problem. They can come right in through Croatia. Well, he tried that for 2 days, and now he says, no, we don't want any more Muslims in Croatia. We want to send them back through Hungary. And he says, Hungary has closed its border with barbed wire. That's not a solution. But it's not a solution that these people remain in Croatia either.
Well, he asked for it. He shouldn't complain. He asked for it. But he didn't realize, with the stupidity of the leaders of Europe, that these people are invaders. They are not running away from persecution. They are there, and they said it. We don't want to stay in Croatia. We don't want to stay in Denmark. They ask them why. We want to go to Finland and Sweden and Norway because they have better benefits.
Of course. And by the way, the benefits are parasitic. We're talking about they will receive money for doing nothing. Housing, and they have no accountability, no responsibility, food, nothing, medical care, nothing. What's it going to do to those systems? Bankrupt them? What's it going to do to the people that are paying for them? The people that are paying for them, they can say, yeah, you know what I really want to do? I want to continue to work so that you can take the fruits of my labor and give it away to these people who are unwilling to work, who hate me and hate my culture.
Would you agree with me if I said that this was a godsend, what happened to this invasion? Because there is no way on earth that Europeans would have woken up simply because they were being like you have a frog.
Mm-hmm.
You're boiling it slowly. It doesn't know it is being boiled. Because slowly, 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 until it's killed. But this invasion, this flood, has caused so much disruption. Has caused so much anger that people most probably will wake up. I hope they will wake up.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. The reason that I don't think it's going to happen is because the means to disseminate information is politics and the media. And politicians and the media are almost resolutely unwilling to talk about the problem is Islam. That Islam has caused the murder and the enslavement and the rape and the pedophilia and the torture and the terror that these people are fleeing, but that they're taking their Islam with them and that they're bringing those very things that they fled into Europe. There is no one who is willing to say these things. So how is this a wake-up call when the alarm isn't being sounded?
Well,
all they know is this is aggravating.
Correct, but at the moment, people who are in Hungary are supporting the government.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of the people in Hungary are supporting the government that they should close the borders.
Mm-hmm.
The Croatians now are suffering, and they are going to suffer for the next maybe few weeks.
Yep.
Catastrophically.
Mm-hmm.
Every single nation which has allowed any number of these so-called immigrants is going to suffer, every single one of them.
But how is there a time limit on this? Let's say that Croatia finally gets Turkey to let them cross their border. Let's just say that happens. What's going to happen if that happens? What do you think the likelihood of Croatia not receiving 10,000 more the next week, and then 10,000 more the week after that, and that every time they're accepted, won't there be more of them? Because the source, the spigot, has 20 million of them waiting to come.
Correct. But if you stop every immigrant and not allow and say no more, and put, you see, they have now the borders closed. Every single nation in Europe now is closing its border. Every single one of them. I honestly believe, okay, I might be wrong, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that this is a wake-up call. And
well,
it's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun.
Well, it's going to be hellish. It's a fundamental change in Europe. It's the incorporation into Europe, what is arguably the most deadly and destructive disease to ever infect humankind. And while over the long haul, Roman Catholicism has been more deadly and destructive than Islam, it's only because Roman Catholicism had a 700-year head start. But the fact is that if you look at its history, particularly the way that it has manifested itself today, as it has gone through this recent reformation, the deadliest and most destructive disease known to mankind is Islam. This is going to be catastrophic for Europe.
No question about it. And
but I don't.
We're talking about immediately.
Immediately. But I don't see there being a solution, because when Merkel said, yes, bring in 800,000 now, bring in 500,000 a year thereafter, let's force every European country to act in kind, she destroyed the continent's hopes. IQ, are you aware of the of the speech, very short, it's only like 3.5 minutes long, that was recorded of a retired U.S. admiral. He's Admiral Lyons. He was one of the highest ranking leaders in the Pentagon throughout the Carter and Reagan administrations. His speech before John Kerry at a meeting recently. Have you heard it? I'll send a copy of it to you. He does a couple of things that are important. One is he quotes Erdogan's speech on Islam. Remember when the world was touting Erdogan as the exemplar for democratic Islam, and he was the model of a moderate Muslim, and they wanted all of these Arab Spring countries to follow the lead of Erdogan. That was, of course, before Erdogan jailed every general that was thought to be a threat to him, every person in the media who would write unflattering things of him, and every political rival. And his party was identified as strictly fundamentalist Muslim.
Correct.
And what did he say when it was presented that he was a moderate Muslim?
He said, there are no shades in Islam. Islam is Islam.
Right. He said, there, in fact, exactly, there are no modifiers for Islam. Islam is Islam. And then he went on to say that democracy is the vehicle that we will ride to our ultimate victory.
Correct.
In other words,
he is doing it.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's this sham democracy in Turkey. Now you can't write on behalf of a rival candidate. Same thing as the sham democracy in Egypt. You're jailed and sentenced to death if you speak out in favor of another candidate, or if you write in favor of another candidate, or if you are a opposition candidate, you're imprisoned and killed. That's not a democracy. And so Erdogan made it very clear. So we're going to use democracy to our advantage to destroy you. And there are no modifiers to Islam. He's right, isn't he?
Of course he's right. But he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
By the way, the Muslims have been telling the truth all the time. They tell you, or they tell Obama, not Obama, forget about Obama, tell the world, our leaders, mm-hmm. Islam does not mean peace. Islam means submission. And we Muslims, our single objective in life is to dominate the whole earth under Sharia.
Mm-hmm. In the world,
it's agenda, it's not a hidden agenda.
There was a discussion I had with Kirk during the first hour, and he is a historian. And he said, you know, it's interesting when you read all of the old history books about Islam. It's not called Islam, and there's no reference to Muslims. They're all called Mohammedans. Because they are people who are following Muhammad's example. And one of the things that I shared with Kirk is that it really is nothing more to Islam than Muhammad. Because the Quran
is Islam.
Yeah, the Quran is Muhammad.
Muhammad.
And Allah
is Muhammad.
Allah
is
Muhammad.
Sharia is Muhammad.
Right. Sharia is Muhammad, and the Hadith is exclusively Muhammad.
This is why I always say Muhammad and Muslims. I don't call them Muslims.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Muhammadan Muslims.
Right. And by the way, isn't it also true that 85% of Muslims are Sunni Muslims?
Yes, and about 15% are Shia.
And what does Sunni mean?
To follow the Sunnah of Muhammad. That means to follow the leadership of Muhammad.
To follow Muhammad's examples.
How he behaved, whom he hated, how he raped people, how he murdered people, and so on and so forth.
Exactly. So the 85% of Muslims are Sunni Muslims based on Sunnah, and the Sunnah is the Hadith. I mean, the only source of Sunnah is Hadith. It's Muhammad's words and deeds.
Correct.
And that's it. Is that not irrefutable?
Well, it is irrefutable. Everything about Islam is irrefutable. Everything. You know that. I know that. Anybody who reads the Quran knows that. Anybody.
Yeah. What if you're a Shia Muslim in Iraq? Why would you want to leave Iraq?
Because I'm being murdered by the Sunnis.
Okay. If you're a Sunni Muslim in Iraq, why would you want to leave Iraq?
Because you're being murdered by the Shia.
If you're a Shia Muslim in Syria, why do you want to leave Syria?
Because Syria is a dysfunctional entity. And if they want to have children grow up in a functional place, they go to somewhere else. But the trouble is, as you said, and as I have repeated, they will bring their Sharia to Europe.
Mm-hmm,
They will bring their Sharia to America. So whatever they're running away from, death and destruction, they will bring it to the country, which is the host country.
Yeah. So in Syria, those who are Shia are running away from attacks by Sunnis, and the Sunnis in Syria are running away from attacks by the Shia militias, such as Hezbollah. Yeah, Hezbollah. And so if you are were born in Libya. Now that Libya is no longer a dictatorship under Muammar Gaddafi, but is instead ruled by roaming gangs of jihadists, why would you want to leave Libya? There's no conflict between Sunni and Shia Islam in Libya. So who is perpetrating the hell in Libya that is responsible for millions of Libyans want to leave that country?
The Sunni Muslim gangsters.
Right.
Islam is an organized crime syndicate.
Yes.
So
and that's a fact.
You have four organized crime syndicates competing with each other.
And by the way, to prove that, just read the 8th Surah of the Quran. It's the first official act in the Islamic era. Read the 8th Surah of the Quran. Read the hadith that explains the 8th Surah of the Quran and provides the context for it. The 8th Surah of the Quran and the hadith all admit that Islam was born as a criminal enterprise. There is no denying that.
Because the 8th Surah in Arabic is called Al-Anfal. Anfal means plunder.
Right. It's how Islam
grew. You don't need too much of brain power to figure that one out. What does plunder mean?
Right.
It's poaching.
In Afghanistan, why would anyone in Afghanistan, which is almost exclusively Sunni, why would an Afghani want to flee Afghanistan? After all, the American army invaded the place. We established democracy. We built schools. We built hospitals. We're there protecting the people. Why would 4 to 5 million Afghanis want to flee Afghanistan? Who is perpetrating the hell that they are trying to flee?
Other Muslims, the Taliban.
So, here you've got Afghanistan with Muslims terrorizing Muslims. In Iraq, Muslims terrorizing Muslims. Syria, Muslims terrorizing Muslims. Libya, Muslims terrorizing Muslims. Why is it the world can't make this connection and say, maybe the problem is Islam?
That's the question. It used to be $64,000. Now it's $64 million.
Mm-hmm.
No, look, I need you to tell me whether I'm right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I've said it many times before that no human being can find a single Muslim with two brain cells of logic regarding the subject of religion or politics. Because Muslims exhibit total irrationality about these two subjects. They switch off their logic and turn into indiscreet, totally emotional creatures who cannot face facts or reality. Am I wrong or am I right?
Yeah, no, you're... It's the nature of religion. Religion dumbs people down, so they're unwilling to exercise good judgment. In fact, they're incapable of being rational.
Incapable.
Yeah. You can point out to a Muslim that the Quran says that Alexander the Great was a Muslim, when historically it's known not to be true. In fact, he lived 1,000 years before Islam was created. And it says that Alexander the Great in the 20th Surah went to the place where the sun goes to bed at night, and that the sun goes to bed each night in a muddy spring, and that there's extraterrestrials that live in that muddy spring, and that that Alexander the Great asked Allah for permission to be able to terrorize them. Now, if you have a book that stupid, a book that has 20 different variations of creation, all in conflict with each other. If you have a book that dumb, why would anybody in their right mind trust it?
But
you tell a Muslim these things and they're incapable of processing it.
Let's not go too far. Allah says repeatedly in the Quran that He revealed the Torah, which is the five books of the Bible, the first five books of the Bible, to Moses.
Books of Moses, right?
And yet, the first verse of the Quran, which is now in chapter 96, تقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق, which means, read or recite in the name of your Lord, the one who created humans or mankind from a clot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a clot is a dead material.
Right.
And that contradicts the very Torah that Allah says He revealed to Moses.
Right.
So we don't need to go to the 20th surah. The first verse of the Quran is corrupt.
Well, not to mention it says in the name of your Lord. Lord is is the title and name that Yahweh, the God who inspired Moshe to scribe the Torah, with the recognition that Lord is Satan. So if you speak in the name of your Lord, you're speaking on behalf of Satan, according to the Torah.
Yes.
Moreover, what did, when Yahweh and Moshe first meet, what did Yahweh tell Moshe about his name? Do you know?
My name is Yahweh.
Yahweh. And did he say that, did he go on to say, that is my only name and the only name that I want to be remembered by throughout all of history?
Correct.
And didn't he also say that a God by any other name is not God?
Correct. Correct.
So the very foundation of Islam is a lie.
And Allah says he revealed to Moses.
Yeah, it proves that it's a lie.
The Quran.
Correct. That proves it's a lie. By the way, we're, you know, there's a place of separation. Yahweh describes that there's a, that his home, his Bayreth, is a spiritual realm in heaven. And that he said there's a place of separation, he calls it Sheol, where he cannot go, where it's separated from him. And those who go there are separated from him. And it's closely resembles hell, although there's no fires and no tortures there. But it's the place defined by Yahweh as the total separation from him. Where does Allah spend all of his time, according to the Quran?
Ah, lovely question. In hell.
Right.
Watching his creation being tortured again and again and again ad infinitum.
In fact, he even participates in the tortures, doesn't he?
Of course.
And doesn't he say that the worst, the hottest places in hell, where the worst tortures take place, is where he sees to it that peaceful Muslims, moderate Muslims, who are now hypocrites, are tortured? That they're the most Absolutely. Vile of all creatures?
Absolutely. Yes.
And is this not the disease that we see coming into to Europe? I don't see any of these people renouncing Islam. I see them with their Islamic garb. Their women are wearing all manner of scarves. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Nothing has changed. The only thing that will change is when they will destroy Europe. You know, with their newly discovered sense of power, Muslims cannot and will not know when to stop.
No.
That's forcing the host peoples of Europe into a corner, right. Turning them into their enemies instead of their friends. Right. You say it won't happen. I honestly hope it will happen. Right. Europeans may at last be waking up to the existential threat posed by Islam and Muslims to their tradition, their culture, their religion, and civilization. I have absolutely no doubt that either before the end of this year or in the early months of next year,
mm-hmm.
there will be major, ugly, dangerous, and unnerving social upheavals against Muslims in Europe. Cool. When more and more yeah. European civilians become serious victims of Muslim terror, Muslim destructiveness, and Muslim intolerance.
Well, we are already seeing riots among Muslims in Greece. And we don't read a lot of it because Greece is so preoccupied with which of two communists it's going to empower. But Greece is bankrupt. Most of Europe is bankrupt. Most of these Muslims will not work. They will be parasites. Anarchy is the result of a nation that is bankrupt. You know, if you want to look at a dysfunctional nation, look at the bankrupt nations, the Ukraine, Greece.
Yes.
These are bankrupt nations. They're dysfunctional. And at the very minimum, these Muslims, because the majority of them will not work, they'll be dependents upon society, they will exacerbate the bankrupt state and therefore bring anarchy. But with Islam comes hate. With Islam comes rage. With Islam comes lawful stealing, because that 8th surah says stealing is lawful and good. So with Islam comes stealing and lying, again, something approved in Islam, and murder, which is approved in Islam,
and rape,
which is approved in Islam. So when millions of people begin to engage in this kind of behavior in societies that are bankrupt, aren't you likely to see dictators take over in those countries?
Absolutely. And the result will be an attack against Muslims.
Of course.
I mean, organized by the government.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no, there is absolutely, in my mind, there is no doubt about it whatsoever. Because as you said, when a society collapses economically, it becomes irrational. Because everybody wants their food for their family.
Correct.
And when you can't get food, you steal it.
Right.
We shall have anarchy. There's no question.
Anarchy. That's where the whole world is headed towards that economically anyway. The whole world is headed towards anarchy. And political correctness in the West has rendered the vast preponderance of the people amoral, so they can't make moral distinctions anymore. They won't make them. They're not accountable. And so we are going to have total and complete breakdown of society and anarchy. And this migration of what will eventually be tens of millions of Muslims is simply exacerbating that fate.
Yes. No, the future is definitely not bright. No. I can't see anything.
No. And I also think that to appease them and to accommodate them initially, the thing that they want the most, even more than they want to get rid of the torment by the opposing sect of Islam, is they want the destruction of Israel. And that's how they will be appeased. We're going to see Europe become as aggressive as the United States in forcing Israel to give up the West Bank to Muslims. And then we're going to see the Islamic State take over Jordan and threaten Israel once it is hopelessly vulnerable. Israel will be sacrificed just as it was Czechoslovakia previously.
Well, I honestly don't believe that Israel will suffer another Holocaust without bringing Holocaust on all the surrounding area.
Yeah,
that will never happen. In my opinion, mm-hmm. humble it may be,
mm-hmm.
Israel will not go down alone. It will be the Samson option. They go down, everybody around them will go down.
You know, it is. It's interesting that this flood of Muslims into Europe was of forecast in Isaiah 17 and also discussed in Isaiah 28. And the flood of Muslims doesn't stop at Europe's door and heart. They also flood into Israel. And there is more prophetic discussion, IQ, on the fall of Damascus, the fall of Greater Syria, and how that leads to Israel being compelled to give up the West Bank and being narrowed at her waist, and then enduring this flood, literal flood waters of Muslims. It is correct that she does not go down, but this time she doesn't have enough bullets to stop the flood. It's just like Europe. Even if they wanted to stop it with bullets, which they're not. There aren't enough bullets to stop it.
You can't do that with bullets.
Right.
It's going to be nuclear.
Right. Well, you know, and Yahweh talks about a nuclear war. But what's interesting is the nuclear war is actually a result of the world taking sides. You've got Europe and the United States backing Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, and Sunni Islam. And you've got Russia and China backing Iran and Syria and therefore Shia Islam. We are going to have a world war. I mean, this very fact that Obama wants to go to war against Assad, and that the Russians want to equip Assad, and the Russians, by the way, are on the right side with this. I mean, Assad's a bad man, but he's infinitely better than the alternative. The United States is on the wrong side. The Russians are on the right side. But when the United States and Europe take sides against Russia and China, that can only lead to world war.
Yes, but Russia and China are extremely powerful.
Yes.
They are just as powerful as Russia, Europe and America. They're not any more the weak.
Correct.
Russia also has more nuclear weapons than America has.
Correct.
Because America denuded itself.
Right.
Unilaterally, of course.
Yes. But
No, we are... Yeah. The prospects are not very bright.
Right. Yeah, this is going to ultimately lead to World War III. That's where we're engaged in World War III. World War III will, and when we survey all of history, IQ, World War III began when Jimmy Carter
Absolutely.
Allowed the Ayatollah Khomeini to bring fundamentalist Islam into Iran and create this catalyst for World War III, which is this fight to the death between Sunni and Shia Islam. And the next battle in that war was when Jimmy Carter aided and abetted the Taliban and Al-Qaeda to go fight a proxy war against the Soviet Union. And that raised the prestige of jihadist Islam. And then when Carter et al., approved the confiscation of American and British assets in the Middle East and the nationalization of the oil industry, and OPEC was created, creating the funding mechanism to fuel jihadi Islam. And then, of course, George Bush took this way beyond where it had been previously by invading Afghanistan and Iraq, unleashing this war on the world. That's how this war began. It's never going to end.
With Carter.
Yes, it began with Carter and was exacerbated under Bush.
And it's being continued now by Obama.
Obama is funding and arming both sides and encouraging Muslims to rise up.
Yes. Had he not destroyed Gaddafi, we would not have ISIS today, 100% guaranteed.
Oh, if he hadn't declared war on the Islamic State, they would be of no consequence. I mean, all they would be doing now is defending Sunni Muslims against Shia Muslims in Iraq. That would be all they would be doing. But because the United States decided that we were going to declare war on Assad, which was stupid, it's just like we didn't learn anything when he declared war on Saddam Hussein. You're an Iraqi. You're an Iraqi. Was Iraq a safer, less terrorist-prone place?
Was 100% safer.
Yes.
100% safer, simply because if you did not go against the Ba'ath party of Saddam Hussein, mm-hmm. nothing would happen to you.
Correct. You could be a Christian. You could be a Zoroastrian.
You could be
a Shiite or Sunni Muslim. It didn't matter.
Yes. Yes. They wouldn't touch you unless you tampered with politics.
Right. You could be a Kurd. And the only time that he attacked the Kurds is when the Kurds picked up arms to kill him.
Yeah.
To undermine the country on behalf of the Iranians.
Correct. Yes.
And now look at
these
the place.
These are the facts, but nobody learns from history.
No.
That's why we are doomed to repeat it.
You would think that after having created this war by taking Saddam Hussein out of power, IQ, that we wouldn't have made the same blunder in Libya. That we wouldn't
because
have made the same blunder
anything.
In Syria.
Yes, we haven't learned anything.
Absolutely.
So we will die, our leaders.
Right. So that's why I do not think this Muslim migration is going to awaken much of anyone. It's just going to lead to their destruction.